Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets you'll see in January. With every new year, millions of us resolve to do something, anything, different or better in the coming months. I suppose my resolution would be to get outside and enjoy the night sky more often. It'll be tough. Often I'm too busy or too tired or, well, you get the picture. So how's about you and I agree right now to do more sky gazing this coming year, okay? We'll want to make good on that pledge right away, because the quadranted meteor shower peaks in the first week of January. These meteors get their name from Quadrans Muralis, an obsolete constellation near the handle of the Big Dipper, and they seem to radiate from that point in the sky. Usually we can count on the quads to give us a brief but intense burst of meteors in the early morning hours of January 4th, and this year's peak really favors North America, especially on the East Coast. Light from a gibbous moon will be a little problematic, but it should set by about 3 a.m., so either plan to stay up very late on the 3rd, or else get up very early on the 4th, and you might be rewarded with one or two meteors per minute if you have clear, dark skies. Don't forget to bundle up extra warmly, because it'll probably be cold out there. Now let's focus on the evening sky. As soon as the sun sets, you'll see a dazzlingly bright star over the southwestern horizon. That's actually the planet Venus, our closest planetary neighbor in space. Week by week, as Venus swings around in its faster orbit and comes closer to Earth, it'll move higher in the sky at sunset. In a telescope, its disk grows larger and changes shape from gibbous to half-lit to crescent. Like the Moon, Venus displays a full cycle of phases. That's what convinced Galileo that Venus orbits the Sun instead of Earth. Now swing your gaze to the left, and you'll see Jupiter shining brightly high above the southeastern horizon. Right now, this giant planet outshines every star in the nighttime sky. Only Venus is brighter. Jupiter is known as the king of planets for a reason. It's big, it's bright, and it'll dominate the late evening sky for the next few months. Now let's talk about some stars. What's your favorite star pattern? It doesn't have to be an entire constellation. It might be any obvious arrangement of bright stars, what astronomers call an asterism. Maybe it's the Big Dipper. But right now, that's lying low along the northern horizon, where buildings or trees probably block your view. Perhaps Orion is your favorite, and why not? It's the brightest winter constellation, and you can already spot it climbing up in the southeastern sky by 8 or 9 p.m. Next on the list would have to be Cassiopeia. It's the Big Dipper's counterpart in the northern sky. In spring and summer, when the Dipper rides high, Cassiopeia lurks low. In fall and winter, it's Cassiopeia's turn to shine high over the evening world, while the Dipper sinks low behind the trees. Cassiopeia is a five-star zigzag. It looks like a squashed W in summertime, and like a flattened M in winter. Step outside, face north, and look almost straight up. There it is in its M position. It's a little wider than your fist held at arm's length. Its left side is the brightest and easiest to see. All five of Cassiopeia's major stars are truly big and bright, outshining the Sun by anywhere from 70 to 8,000 times. That impressive brightness, combined with being no more than a few hundred light-years away, is why you can spot this distinctive quintet almost at a glance from your driveway. In Greek mythology, Cassiopeia was the queen in what's now Ethiopia, and she was the mother of Andromeda. Ancient sky watchers not only subdivided the sky into constellations, but also gave each noteworthy star its own proper name. Some of these came from various cultures and flukes of folklore, but often they simply told the body part that the star supposedly represented in its constellation figure. For instance, although the middle star in Cassiopeia's M has no proper name, the ones on either side of it, plus the bright one at the left end, are named Kaf, Shedir, and Rukhbah. These are medieval European corruptions of the Arabic words for hand, breast, and knee. Let's leave the queen and shift our gaze over toward east, in the direction opposite of where the sun set. You'll see again the stars of Orion the Hunter striding up from the horizon. Look in particular for a trio of bright stars in a vertical row. These mark Orion's belt, and there's nothing else like them anywhere in the sky. Look to the left of the belt, by about the width of one fist. That bright star is called Betelgeuse, and it marks the hunter's shoulder. Maybe you've heard it called Betelgeuse, like that weird movie character. Use whatever works for you. Study Betelgeuse a bit, and maybe you'll notice that it's got a warm color, like weak ginger ale. Betelgeuse is a red supergiant, a truly massive star that has swollen to tremendous size in its old age. But Betelgeuse still looks like a pinpoint in the sky because it's very far away, about 400 light years. On the right side of the belt is Orion's other really bright star, Rigel. Can you see the color difference between peachy Betelgeuse and icy white Rigel? It might seem counterintuitive, but those icy white stars are the very hottest. Rigel's surface temperature is nearly 20,000 degrees Fahrenheit, whereas Betelgeuse is only a third of that. Go figure. Now let's hunt down a couple of star clusters. Shift your gaze upward from Orion's belt by about two fists until you run into another bright beacon with a slightly orange cast. That's a red giant star called Aldebaran, and it marks the angry eye of Taurus the Bull. Aldebaran also serves as the anchor for a loose, V-shaped cluster of stars called the Hyades. In early evening, the V is lying on its side, with its bottom pointing toward the right, and its top, the bull's horns, pointing toward left. Depending on the darkness of your sky, you might be able to pick out anywhere from just a few to as many as 20 stars in the Hyades. Curiously, Aldebaran itself doesn't officially belong to the group. It's just a bright star that happens to lie between us and the cluster. Keep looking higher up in the sky by about the width of another fist until you see a fuzzy spot that you can just cover with the tip of a finger. This is also a star cluster called the Pleiades. Another name for it is the Seven Sisters, or in Japanese, Subaru. You think I'm kidding, right? Well, the next time you see a Subaru on the street, check out the logo. It's a stylized group of stars. I can't promise that the light from all these beautiful stars will keep you warm on a cold winter's night, but they will certainly catch your eye anytime you go outside. And remember, we've resolved to do that more often this coming year, right? Next month, I'll spend a little time with the part of the Milky Way you can see in winter rather than in summer. Until then, I wish you clear skies.